Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Jimmy Donahue is an actor, director, and singer who is currently performing his multi-role performance in Goshen Players' production of First Date. He is also directing the Gilbert School production of Bye Bye Birdie. So we hope you enjoy the chat with Jimmy Donahue on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. My guest today in studio in Torrington, Connecticut at WAPJ is Jimmy Donahue. Jimmy Donahue is an actor, director, and singer. I saw him perform at the Thomaston Jazz Orchestra's Holiday Gala.
Yes, back in December.
And that was a fantastic performance. Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
You wear many hats. You are a singer, you are a director, you're an actor. Did I miss anything?
Well, you know, I've kind of dabbled in it all. I've directed, I've assistant directed, I've dabbled in costuming, dabbled in stage management, equity wrangling, child wrangling, which is basically babysitting. Child performers. I've also done front of house. I've also ushered, and then perform, sing, and direct.
Jack
of all trades.
Absolutely. So is the performances the stage, or what is it about acting or being in this environment that appeals to you?
I think it's the chance to escape from reality. For, you know, 3 weekends or 4 months or, you know, however long your show runs. But growing up, I started theater when I was 8 years old. And from that moment on, that's all I knew. You know, that was it. You know, some people say, oh, I want to be a fireman or I want to be a zookeeper. And I was just like, I'm on stage and that's it. You know, I was like, cut dry. That's what's happening.
What brought you to the stage at 8 years old?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. So I had siblings and my, I have siblings, and my mother, had a at home daycare, and I was having problems sharing my toys, and I didn't like that I was sharing with others. Mm-hmm. So they sent me to someone to talk about that. And the only way I was able to express my feelings or say, you know, well, I'm mad that they took my, you know, toy truck was through this finger puppet stage in the corner of the therapist's office. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I think you should do theater. And my first production was Babes in Toyland. I was Peter Pumpkin Eater in Manchester, Connecticut at Cast. And from then on, I was in 9 shows a year, year round till today.
Shows a year.
Yep.
You're very busy, obviously, and that's incredible. So would you say at that point in time, acting was in your blood? That's something that you just wanted, or is it just being a part of the performance?
I think it started off as just being part of the theater. Mm-hmm. You know, I was chorus boy number 8 in the corner. But it was being a part of that and having that camaraderie and that team effort to put the show up. And then it kind of spiraled into, oh, I really like acting. Oh, I kind of like directing. Oh, I could, yeah, okay, I'll dabble in that. And, you know, I just, you know, I can always learn more. And so I just opened myself up to that and just kept going.
Now, the transition from an actor to a director, that's
very different.
Very different, very different roles. What was the first thing that you directed?
The first thing that I officially directed on my own was The Music Man at Gilbert School roughly 5 years ago. Prior to that, I was the assistant co-director of Carousel 2 years prior to that and Damn Yankees. And then since then, I started my community theater directorial debut with Mary Poppins at Landmark Community Theater.
Which I saw, yes.
And it was a fun summer show, and I was thrilled that Jeff Dunn gave me the opportunity to be a part of that. And then I continued on. I assistant directed a few main stage shows at Seven Angels with Janine Molinari as the director. And then I just did The Happy Elf at Landmark, and I will also now be doing Grease at Landmark this summer.
Wow. So, yeah, that's fantastic.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Now, just jumping back just slightly because I saw it, mm-hmm. it was a fantastic show with Mary Poppins. You know, there was a lot of technical aspects to that, including some stunts.
There was.
I mean, which is show-stopping stunts.
We teched that show for 2 weeks because you lose, with a show like that, the company that comes in to give you the special effects, a.k.a. the flying, mm-hmm. And other things, they require a week of just their rehearsal. So we lost, you know, leading up to tech, an entire week of rehearsal just to work with Mary, Bert, and the nanny.
Right.
But the payoff was...
There was a huge payoff.
Oh, because absolutely.
It was, you know, quite the special effects.
Yes, it was.
Which is, you know, an impressive feat that I enjoyed watching when I saw it there.
Thank you.
But you also define yourself as a singer, and I enjoyed your performance with Charisse Courtney with the Thomaston Jazz Orchestra. How did that come about?
That came up. Jim Lauritzma was the music director for Mary Poppins when mm-hmm. I did it, alongside John Dressel. And Jim and I have always, you know, kind of kept tabs on each other. And he said, hey, you know, would you be interested in being a part of this Christmas concert? And he was also in the pit for Happy Elf with mm-hmm. Holly McCann as the music director. And so I said, yeah, sure. Never done it. Why not? And so then I was able to do that. And it was a lot of fun. It's a great group to be a part of. Fun event, great turnout. And it was just a great way to celebrate the holidays and see, you know, a lot of familiar faces, more than I was expecting to see.
Really?
Which was a lot of fun to do.
Now, have you taken any either acting classes or directing classes or singing classes, or has this been a learning by experience and having that
natural
talent?
It's been kind of a mutt. I started at UConn in the theater studies program, which is kind of where you dabble in everything. So I took a few acting classes through that, a few stage management directing classes. But since then, it's all been just experience, putting myself out there, opportunities coming up, and trying to take them and run with it and, you know, just see what comes of it.
But there is certainly, you found some value in taking some classes before, but then there's no greater teacher than experience.
Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, you know, do I wish I could afford voice lessons every other day? Totally. It's just not the reality right now. But for the most part, you know, the more you can learn and the more you can put yourself out there, the better outcome you'll get. And so I've always tried to do that. So
what is the type of music that you like to perform? Is it the musicals? Is it the, you know, the orchestra, the jazz performance?
It's definitely anyone that is listening would definitely roll their eyes if I said it was anything but musicals, because it's musicals and musicals only. I enjoy all types of genres, and I love the orchestrations of musicals. Mm-hmm. And if we broke down musicals specifically, it's more of the classic musicals that are my forte. I'm not really one for the new, you know, rock kind of shows, but I do love the musicals, and that's what I've really been successful in the sense that I've just, you know, that's always been what I've done. So.
Fantastic. Well, when we get back, we're actually going to talk in current production of First Date, which is the Goshen Players production of First Date, which will begin, I believe it's March 31st.
March 31st, yep.
So we'll be back in just a few moments to talk about that here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. The guest in studio today is Jimmy Donahue. Jimmy Donahue is an actor. He's a director and so much more, as we've already discovered. He's also a singer. and we discussed in detail his interest in musicals. We're going to talk now about The First Date, which is a production by the Goshen Players, and it's going to begin on March 31st. Tell me about First Date. How did you get involved?
Well, First Date came about. It was a show that I heard about over the past few years. It's a fairly new musical. And as I was, I saw the audition announcement come out, and I started to think, oh, you know, I don't know if there's anything really in that show for me. And I started to listen to the soundtrack, and then I was like, oh, wait a second. This is a show that I want to do. And so I went out for it, back in December. And we auditioned for it, and we did callbacks. And then they said that I was able to come in and play man number three, who is a waiter, a therapist, a Christian, a very Christian father, and then this other character called Blaze. And other little ones that are kind of, there's no name to them. They're just kind of this random person that just walks across the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I got involved. I just saw the audition announcement. I saw that Dan Chkovitz was directing it, and I've had great times with Dan doing Cinderella at Thomaston back in 2010, as well as Spelling Bee, the first time that we did it in Goshen in New Britain, and then Little Shop in Goshen as well. So
now, First Date is the book is by Austin Winsberg, and music and lyrics by Ellen Zachary and Michael Weiner. Now, tell me about the music style. Is it very classic musical?
No, it is actually a very new, not new style. It's a pop, rock, jazz. It kind of has everything in it. It has, you know, numbers that are kind of an ode to a classic vaudeville musical.
Mm-hmm.
Then it has some pop. It has some jazz. It has some rap. It has it all.
Really?
It really has it all. It's pretty interesting. Every character kind of has their own, I'll say musical genre kind of thing. And then, the group numbers are kind of a mutt of everything put together into one.
That's exciting.
So it is. It's very exciting. It keeps you on your feet. That's for sure. So
now you play four, key roles in this particular production. How did you prepare four roles, all the while you're also directing Bye Bye Birdie? How were you able to accomplish?
Organization, or at least attempting to be organized. I think Eric Wilczek, our stage manager, would question my organizational skills. But, you know, I looked at the material for First Date after I already blocked out and mapped out what Bye Bye Birdie would be. And directing, you know, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. But you know, I don't have to memorize the lines for my actors, so that helps. And also, Bye Bye Birdie, I've done several times over the years. And so it's a show that I'm well acquainted with, something that I know exactly what I'm looking for, what I want out of it. So I was able to really focus on First Date while focusing on Bye Bye Birdie. First Date kind of was prominent in my head. And it was like, okay, let's get off book. Let's, you know, delve into these characters and have fun. And the character that I play throughout most of the show is the waiter. And he's the waiter of the restaurant that the date actually takes place in. And it's just this fun-loving guy who, you know, judges a little bit and, you know, has a few side remarks to the audience to just say, okay, well, whatever. And then all the other characters are just these heightened reality, very not so 25-year-old male roles, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to play all the different roles in the show.
Now, Eric Wilczek, name that you mentioned, came to my attention when he directed The Games Afoot at Thomaston Opera House there. That was a fantastic show. I really enjoyed that particular...
He also did... he was my stage manager for Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to keep coming up. And then he then directed, I think it was before, I think Something Afoot was right before he also then directed Little Mermaid. So he had the next Disney show at Thomaston as well. And now he's stage managing First Date in Goshen.
That's fantastic. Now, you you like this particular, the waiter, the role of the waiter.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you have some good musical numbers that you get to?
I do. We're in, you know, all of us, it's only a 7-person show. So out of the 7 of us, 2 of them do not change, quote unquote. The other 5 of us are constantly switching costumes and running on and off stage.
Sure.
And so we're in all the group numbers together, but the waiter's number that he has in the show is probably one of my favorite numbers I've ever gotten to perform on stage. It's a fun jazz swing number. It's a lot of fun.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, are there any particular roles that you enjoy that is a non-musical performance, but a more dramatic role?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I have never done a play in my life.
Really?
I have never done a non-musical in my life. I've seen them. I've read them. I've delved into them. But I have never actually performed in a play.
Oh, very interesting. Okay.
That was a little curveball, I know.
That's not a problem.
Well, yeah, actually, that's... I take that back. I'm sorry. Let me revise that. I did do a non-musical, and it was called The Stinky Cheese Man and Other Fairly Stupid Fairy Tales at Goshen, sure. Directed by Matt Cornish. That was back in 2012, I believe. And that was a non-musical children's show.
Sure, well, based on the very popular book.
Yes.
Which I
yes.
Have.
So that's about as non-musical as I've gotten. So I'm kind of the song and dance man.
Very nice. Okay. That sounds good. So first date, and actually it's going to be from March 31st through April 9th there in Goshen. And so for people to find out more information about that, they can go to GoshenPlayers.org. So when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Jimmy Donahue. We're going to talk more about some of his favorite musicals, some of his directorial endeavors, as well as anything else in the theater world that he has worked on and prepared for that would be of interest to our audience here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. In the studio is Jimmy Donahue. Jimmy Donahue is an actor. He is a singer. He is a director. Tell me about the directing, and specifically Bye Bye Birdie at the Gilbert Theater. You've had some opportunities to do some directing at the Gilbert.
Mm-hmm. I've been there since 2013. We started off with Meredith Wilson's The Music Man. Then we did Wizard of Oz. Then we did Honk, which is a British musical about the Ugly Duckling. And then last year we did You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And then this year we're doing Bye Bye Birdie.
Now, what do you like most about being a director?
Well, when you're a director, one of my favorite things is to get a show and start from absolute nothing. And you look at a black and white page. And you know, you've probably have seen a show or two of this production or whatever. And you think, okay, how can I change that? How can I make this better? How can I make this a cohesive piece? That kind of brings everything that's in your head to life. And so I love the challenge of looking just at the text, listening to the recording or not a recording. When we did, The Happy Elf this year at Landmark, there's never been a production of it in Connecticut or really anywhere. So I had nothing to base it off of. I had no references. There was no reference recordings. It was just, here's a show, make it magical and make it, you know, fun. And Harry Connick Jr. Wrote the show. And you know, there were definitely parts that I thought, wow, I don't know what he was thinking there. But you know, you kind of have to persevere and come over those. I really love the rehearsal process. It's probably one of my favorite processes to go through. And that's including tech, the tireless hours, the no sleep, the stress, the tears, the blood, the sweat. But then when that curtain opens opening night and closes on closing night, it is the most rewarding thing to see a show in any age group at any theater and think, I did that, you know, and the amount of work that the actors put in to bring your ideas to life, it's truly inspiring, you know. And I love the teamwork that it takes, and I love the commitment that it takes, and also the structure and the stability and the concentration. So yeah.
Would you consider yourself a collaborative director, somebody who works with the actors to find their roles?
As much as I try to with high school theater, it also has its challenges. You know, when you're working with high school students who aren't necessarily always in the arts, you know, you're kind of dealing with people that are, you know, they're not always on stage. So you have to break it down a little bit more than you're used to. But overall, I like to see what actors bring to the table first and foremost, and then we kind of mold it into how it's going to fit into the show in the grand scheme of things. So
you're you know, taking that role of director and being a teacher as well. Mm-hmm. So you are kind of, you know, leading them through the process of building an entire show, you know, and that's, you know, so you are kind of a mentor and a teacher as well as the director saying, you must do this.
Exactly. And it helps too that I also am a performer, because I'm able to put myself into, you know, part of the process of directing. I can think, okay, as a performer, how would this work? Would this make sense to me if I was the performer being told to do this? Which also helps with the translation of blocking and choreography and music, and emotions and everything, to say, okay, you know, hey, like, let's go for this. And a lot of people are able to take that and run with it and then kind of make it work. So
very nice. Now, what would you think, what are some of the tips or the things that you have learned to become a better director? Are there things that you learned from other directors and seeing how they work that you then incorporate into your directing?
Absolutely. I've worked with several directors over the years, and you know, I've worked with some that basically hand you the show and say, here you go, have fun. And that has its challenges of, you don't know if you have enough structure, if you're doing it right, if you're doing it wrong. So I also know that, so from that, I draw, okay, well, I don't want to be the director that just hands someone a script and says, have fun, you know. But there's something to be said about it, because then you're able to step back up as a performer and you really bring a show to life. So there's a little essence of that. I've worked with directors who are, they walk in with this script that's about four stories high, with all their notes, and they say, okay, this is exactly what we're doing. We're not straying from this. This is it. So there's the structure of that, which is very rigid, and you're like, well, you know, I want to do something more fluid, or I don't really like that. You know, why do I have to exit that way? And then there are the directors that start, you know, you start with your first read through, you spend the first week on just character, then you work music and you really build it up. I mean, piece by piece by piece by piece. And you don't really run the show until a week or two before tech. And so then there's something to be said about that, you know. So
sure.
there's so many different ways, and I every director that I've worked with, I've walked away being able to take something from them, and kind of mold how I direct, or even how I perform. You know, it's also opened the doors of, wow, okay, well, when I'm an actor, I'm definitely not talking like that, because, you know, as a director, I don't want someone talking to me like that. Mm-hmm. So there's also been that learning curve as well. So, yeah.
Very nice. Now, as we, you know, conclude our conversation here with Jimmy Donahue here on Nutmeg Chatter on WAPJ, if you could just tell me something that you've learned from musicals that you think is of value to the Nutmeg Chatter audience. Because from the age of 8 until now, that's been your focus. This has been your, you know, interest, You've done it on many different levels. So what do you think is that would be one of the lessons learned from working on so many musicals?
I think one of the lessons learned would be you're performing this. It's not only for yourself, and it's not only for your castmates or the production staff or the theater. You're putting these shows on. It's your outlet. Even if it's your bread and butter, it's still an outlet. It's still it's a passion. If you don't have passion, you're not in it, you know? And it's something that you're offering to people. People go to shows, go to movies to, like I said earlier, to escape reality. And you're offering hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, that opportunity night after night to say, come, you know, come into our space, come into our family for 2 hours, listen to what we have to say. And most of the time, 99.9% of the time, as an audience member, you're able to walk out and somehow apply something from a show, whether it's the overall lesson or it's a line or it's a song. And somehow that's going to stick with you for a lifetime. And there hasn't been one show that I've left that I have not thought, oh, wow, you know, and it's kind of just lodged in deep back into my head. And for years to come, I will always remember something from almost everything I've seen. So I think that that's one of the big ones. And that it's really just, it's a love of art. You know, if it goes back to the passion, if you're not passionate, if you're not loving what you're doing, then you're not doing it, you know? And, I think everyone can attest that anyone that's in theater, the people that are there are meant to be there for a certain reason. So yeah,
absolutely. And you know what? I think what's impressive is that you should demonstrate that passion for musical theater. That's something that from the age of 8 until now, that is what you have enjoyed doing and that you want to be a part of. And I think what's impressive as well is the fact that you're cognizant of the fact that somewhere in that audience will be somebody else who, whether they're at age 8 or 80, may discover this same love of musical theater, and then carry that with them for their lives. So yeah. It's a very transformative experience.
Yes, it's truly it's a humbling experience as well. You know, the first Broadway show I ever saw was Beauty and the Beast, and I was reaching for that confetti during Be Our Guest, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I still have it. I still have the program with 5 pieces of confetti sitting in my room in a box somewhere, and I'll never forget it, you know. And that was before I even really started to get into theater. But I knew, you know, that's what I want to do. So.
And that passion and love of musicals will be on display from March 31st through April 9th in Goshen for First Date, which is First Date is the production of the Goshen Players, and you are playing 4 characters in this particular production, this musical.
Yes, and we're actually doing a fun thing with this show. Since it takes place in a restaurant, Goshen has decided to do it cabaret style. So it's BYOB, bring snacks, bring beverages. You can get your tickets online, and it should be a great time. It's a fun show, 90 minutes. It's a lot of fun.
That sounds great. Looking forward to the show, Jimmy.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming to Nutmeg Chatter. Our guest, Jimmy Donahue, the actor, director, and singer, and musical theater extraordinaire.
Thank you for having me.
Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Nutmeg Chatter can be found online, nutmegchatter.com. Some music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music. We thank you for that. Now stay tuned. At 4 o'clock, The Hotspot with Darcy. Thank you for listening to the Nutmeg Chatter program. I'm J. Timothy Quirk.